Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Nevin's Island podcast. As always, we got my man, Josh, Superman himself, Steelman. Josh, how are you feeling?
Very sore, as I was saying before we went live. I started lifting weights again for the first time this week, and I forgot
that. That's not what you were saying.
I forgot that. What? I don't know what you're talking about. And I forgot that after you do biceps, you cannot fully extend your arm for up to 4 days. Afterwards.
I mean,
so I'm getting like my right arm's all the way there because I'm right hand dominant, but my left arm, it takes a little bit of time.
Dude, right now you got some ice cream scoops, but like when you're extending your arm, you got a little.
I got the 3 day pump.
Got a little right before the date, you bang out 10 push-ups, get the little bump there. To his right, we have the second tallest man I know. His return to podcasting. Jake Frasnelli. Jake, how long have you been?
Tired.
How's life?
Whoa.
You've been tired?
I've been tired.
That's crazy.
From when was the last podcast I was on? Like April?
April.
Probably.
Till now, there's not been a single second where I've not been tired.
Yeah.
Actually, no, there has. And those have been the times when I was sleeping. And then immediately after I wake up, I feel refreshed. And then
two seconds.
3 minutes later, maybe, I stand up. Nope.
Yep.
He passes out again.
Chase, how's your week been?
It's been pretty good. Just really working on...
by the way, that's the Sir Chase Andrews. Sorry. Yeah, how's your week been?
Favorite.
Just no respect.
No. Absolutely. Can't get any nowadays. I've just been...
My wife calls me...
I have been, and will be thinking about how to finish my project. So.
What's it do?
Midnight.
We love that. We love that. I have no idea. Oh, those are for the desk? Or those desks, but I have no idea what to do.
If that were in your water, I would have felt so bad.
I would have felt so bad too, because it would have been all over you.
Yeah. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Nevin's Island Podcast, the weekly show where we come at you with different topics. Each one of us bringing a topic to the table. Sometimes we have a guest on, like Jack the Bus last week's episode. Sometimes it's just the core cast, the four of us hanging out, joshing around, having a good time, and him around. Having a good time.
Stop, that hurts.
We are on YouTube and Spotify. Go and check us out at the Nevin's Island Podcast. We do a bunch of other shows, movie reviews, and 5-minute MCU review.
Apologize also if you can hear the sounds of our ceiling. The neighbors above us actually have a bowling alley installed. Well, that's what it sounds like every single night.
Dude, I thought they were tap dancing.
Dude, there was one moment last couple
there was
ago.
Literally like, we were like, are they fighting?
Like, there was a moment where I texted them, we have their number, and I was like, hey, I'm trying to go to bed a little bit earlier. It was like midnight, so it wasn't like egregiously early. It was a Thursday
night. On like a Wednesday,
night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On a Wednesday,
it
bro?
Was a Wednesday. And they were like going hard. It's not music. It's just they're loud. Like they're just consistently very loud and jumping around. And so I'm like, hey, can you turn it down a little bit? And they're like, yeah, sure. The volume comes down for like 5 minutes. And then all of a sudden this one girl... Dude, like, I'm about to go to sleep. My eyes are heavy, you know? Like, when your eyes get, like, that next level. I just hear this one girl go, hey-ya! And I'm like, what?
And she comes through the window.
Ninja Whoosh! Stars coming out.
Right by the window. Anyways.
Yeah.
First topic of the night. Me? Nicholas Evans.
Yeah, let's do it. My topic.
In chat?
Yeah. My topic is going to be... So I this summer had a lot of time and got pretty creative and
then this is the one you came up with.
And this is the one I came up with. I have a long list from this summer.
And you're telling me that this is the one that you're
this
like,
is the one that I want to start out the
this
new
is that,
year.
This is what I want to kick it off with.
This is
yes
what,
or no question.
This is what I want to kick it off with. A yes or no question.
Wow.
A yes or no question, and then there's the why, obviously.
Okay.
Do aliens exist?
Probably. All right, Josh.
Yay.
So no, seriously, what do you guys think about this? Because I have a strong opinion. I have a very strong opinion.
All
Chase,
I'm saying is if aliens existed,
since I'm the, you know, have full jurisdiction, I know everything. Yeah, they do.
Why?
So, because I know because
he said so.
I've seen them.
So, really?
They've been in my room a few times.
So, I'm the exact opposite. I don't
can't say that.
Exist.
That's racist.
No? I think that, theoretically, they have to be out there.
Yeah. So, here's
literally
my thing.
From a statistic standpoint.
Yes.
There's no way.
Statistically, theoretically.
Like, yeah, there's no way aliens do not exist. They might not have visited by now, but there's no way that they do not exist.
So, I'm the opposite. Here's why I'm
the opposite. I think they don't exist, but they definitely have visited.
No. So, my thing is, statistically, I'm amazed that aliens aren't here yet, if they were. Mm. Like, that's, and like, not just like, they could be here or whatever. I'm surprised in Times Square somebody hasn't like come down and be like, hey, we're aliens, and or speak whatever language they would speak. I feel like they would be here by now, because statistically we're obviously like pretty advanced. We got microphones and technology and lights and whatever, but like there's got to be somebody out there, if there were someone out there, that is way ahead of us, that is just killing the game right now, if we're talking about all of time.
This is actually I forget what it's called. But it's starts with a P. It's like a paradox. It's called something paradox. It's somebody's paradox.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, if aliens don't exist, then where are they? And there's a lot of interesting, there's like books about this. There's a lot of interesting answers to this paradox. I think my favorite one is the one where I think there's a short story written about this as well, where the humans receive contact from another planet, and the first thing after months of trying to crack it through multiple decoding techniques, they finally get it, and it says, "Stop being so loud."
Yeah.
And basically the theory is there's this giant super race that can like harvest power from entire galaxies at once, that is just going around and kind of punting off and extincting every little group of life that there is around the universe, and us being so loud and blasting out a massive radio presence is only just increasing the likelihood that we're next on their list.
I mean, well, that's the other thing.
That's dark.
We're a nuisance. The human race is not it's not a good thing all the time.
I just think that like the likelihood of life being out there is a lot higher than the likelihood of life being out there, and also that life being advanced enough to discover like faster than light travel, which is what would have to happen for them to get to us.
Yeah.
So it's like probably, but it's kind of an irrelevant question.
Yeah.
See, I'm thinking that they just stopped by during some like bad human era, like World War II or like the bubonic plague or something. Like, we're good. We'll come back later.
Let's go get some Wendy's.
Yeah. No, I forgot who it was, but I saw some quote by somebody, and it was like, the only sign that intelligent life exists out in the universe is that it hasn't attempted to contact us yet.
Yeah.
Like, that is, I respect.
Yeah.
So that's my thing, where I'm like, the statistical side, for most of my life, I've always been like, aliens 100% exist. Like, why? Because just the stats go and say that. And also, everyone around me is always like, of course. And I'm such a follower that I'm like, yeah, why not? But about a year ago, I was thinking about this, and like, there was someone that was like, going in, they were just being a nuisance. They're like flat earther sort of person. Aliens exist, you know, all this BS. And
I feel like aliens existing should not get grouped in with flat earth.
That's fair. That's fair.
I was like,
no, but like they made that their personality.
You know, they thought the moon landing happened. Flat earth. They thought Obama wasn't a. I almost said Republican. A reptilian.
No, but Elon Musk is. But no, like,
no, he's South African, and I've told you can't keep calling them.
but he go, not he.
Sorry, it.
Yeah, this guy is going crazy, and he's just like, they have to exist. Da 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 da. You're an idiot. If not, I'm like, why do they?
So basically, Nick's whole worldview is based on the fact that he wants to be a contrarian to one random guy.
No, 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 no.
He's like, well, this guy was annoying. All of his opinions must be wrong.
No, I'm saying. Talk but like if everything though, like that this guy, you can't prove it. Like there's no way to right now you'd be like,
yeah.
There he is.
You also can't prove they aren't though.
Exactly. 100%.
Which is why I said probably and then said let's move on.
Yeah.
Schrodinger's aliens.
Yeah. I felt like that title was like Aliens 11 for some reason, and I just saw a movie title go by. But if aliens were to exist, let's just say they come down and they land in Auburn, you know, they're on Sanford Lawn, they're having a good time.
Yeah.
Realistically speaking, they would land in Tokyo.
We're playing some spikeball.
My bad.
Hopefully. And, you know, playing some spikeball, Josh is just destroying us. We're having a good time.
Yeah.
What would your reaction be? And then what would you like say to them? Because I feel like if aliens landed, they're killing all of us. They're not learning anything from us. Because that they would have to know the speed of light, and they got way further than us. Science-wise.
I feel like I could teach them a few things.
I mean, realistically, if you think about it, if they're a
species, they know how to play spike ball.
Yeah, they know how to play spike ball, Nick.
We just have to keep continually adding rules to put off our...
You know how to play Valorant, huh? I can teach them how to play Valorant.
Click some hands on some aliens.
Oh, yeah. Ding.
I think realistically speaking, one, like if they found us, that means we're assuming they have faster than light travel, which means they're so much more technologically advanced than we are. At that point, it'd be like us discovering an island with like some random animals on it. And like, would we just pull up and shoot every one of those random animals?
Looking at probably humanity, not, yes, right. We probably yeah. would.
So, not immediately.
Bye-bye, Dodo. Yeah.
We'd probably try to... Well, okay, the reason the Dodo bird is that is because it was too friendly. We are not friendly.
Well, so the thing is, if the animals started attacking whoever showed up, then yeah, they would retaliate. And we would definitely...
I think what would happen is either the world gets nuked or we become enslaved.
Worst case scenario,
we die, and that's not that bad.
Yeah,
worst case scenario, they just give me a better education than Auburn. And make me fix their ships for them.
That's what I'm saying, where they could just totally be like, all right.
Get me an alien to English translator, I'll code some fucking flight computers.
Yeah, right?
I would say that there would be, like, at least a solid grace period where they would be like, all right, let's check out some music. Let's hang out with these guys for a bit.
And then they would listen to Cardi B. And then...
and 100 Gecs, you know, yeah. gotta give them
And the Rick and Morty.
And the Rick and Morty by Soulja Boy.
Or they would land on Sanford, ask Nick for his music taste, and then immediately dead. Nuke us.
Yeah. All right.
Big red button that immediately.
That feels like a good.
Well, I'm good with that. Yeah.
Feels like a good moving on point.
Yeah. All right. Topic two, I believe, is
Josh. Me. Basically, mine a lot more low key and less theoretical. What is your biggest, like, most memorable mobile game from when you were little? Like Jetpack Joyride, Fruit Ninja, Cut the Rope, whatever.
I saw the Reddit post earlier today that made you think of this topic.
The amount of 15 minutes ago,
Josh and I were sitting out there, and I was going to show him a video. I was like, I was going to show you a video of the swimmer, and he pulls up the same video on his phone. He's like, this video?
Just got to.
I'll kick this off. So I was telling him about this when he initially told me that this was going to be his topic, and there was this game, I'm talking like, iPod 1 just came out, and I, like, just got it, feeling good.
Little known game, it's called Minecraft.
It's
Pocket Edition.
Dude, like, my cousins played thousands of hours in that game. So
oh, my brother did,
I,
yeah.
I did.
But Pocket Edition, funny enough, the game was called Pocket Gods.
Oh, I fucking love Pocket Gods.
Right?
I played the Flash version, though.
So this game, if you don't know, was you, like, control these guys on an island, and I just remember killing all of them all the time.
And we wonder why he has a superiority complex.
Yeah, right? No, just, you know.
Wait a second. People on an island? Nevin's Island? Oh.
You definitely named Nevin's Island.
Pocket Gods starts suing
me. The original Nevin's Island.
That's what I childed, my first island. But
like,
no.
This one's gonna be Jade. A medium meter.
It's like you ever play SimCity.
But no, I love that game, and I remember like upgrading my island throughout the years. But I never, and I don't think I ever have or ever will, spent money on a mobile game.
I don't believe you.
You've
never bought a game that cost. You've never bought anything on your phone that cost money.
I don't think I have either, actually.
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Me neither. All right.
Well, we don't want to...
Moving into my game.
The Valorant bills.
Totally unrelated to the amount of money that I've spent in online games. I have put far too many hours into Clash of Clans and Clash Royale. I played Clash of Clans when it came out, like 2013, 2012, whatever that was. Like when we were in sixth grade. And I got to like... the max town hall or whatever it was at the time without using gems.
It's like 7.
No, it was like, I think it was 9.
Nice.
And then I stopped playing it for a year, and then I re-downloaded it, and none of my progress saved, and then I spent way too much money on that game.
You're like, I'm getting back to where I was.
Yeah, and then I did, and then I lost all my progress again, and I didn't spend money that time.
Good job.
Because it was broke. Not because I had shoulder strength. I want to make that very clear.
Good job to you for being broke.
But I think, like, obviously that, and then Minecraft Pocket Edition on it. Like, unironically, in, like, 5th grade, I downloaded that game, and it was back when you had unlimited bricks and unlimited glass, and you couldn't craft anything, and there was no beds. And it was literally, it was basically creative, except with only glass and bricks. And there was a set world, it wasn't infinite. And that was my gateway drug into Minecraft. And then from 6th grade to about 10th grade, all I did was eat, sleep, go to school, and play Minecraft.
He's now an MA. He's recovering. He's a recovering addict.
Yeah, MA. Yeah. Hi, I'm Jake Frostnelli, and I'm a crafter.
Hi, Jake.
I have a quick question. This just came up to mind when you were like 6th grade. This is one of those few things that, like, I realized people in Ohio also did in Massachusetts. Madden Mobile. Did you guys get in Madden Mobile?
100%.
So, you're late to
my buddy Cole point. Probably still plays Madden Mobile. Dude, I'm not going to lie.
Madden Mobile.
I can text him right now.
Lit. Like, getting that team to be how you want it. And it was, like, a good game, too. It wasn't, like, a trash game.
Interesting take.
What?
It's basically a point-and-click adventure that you spend money on packs.
Yeah. I did not spend money on packs.
It's a point and click adventure with less good
players. Yeah, with like LaVisca Chenault.
Yeah. Hey,
you're gonna pop off this year.
Maybe.
You know who's gonna pop off this year? Jerry Judy. Anyways.
Big Booty Judy?
Maha.
No, did you just say Maha or Nuh uh?
Maha.
Sorry for jumping in on your Minecraft. Chase, what you got?
For me, I got 4 rapid fire right here.
Ready? Oh, gosh, games you have not heard of.
No. This is from when I was young. Angry Birds. Doodle Jump. Doodle Jump was a big one.
Yes, sir.
Dragon Ball.
What?
Cut the Rope, also.
Cut the Rope, what else?
I played a little bit of Cut the Rope. But like, those. And then I guess I could also, bonus round, include Flappy Bird.
So,
you gotta include that one.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't.
Dude, I loved all the urban legends around Flappy Bird. About like why it went off the App Store. Because it was there. How long was it even on the App Store? Was there for like
months.
A couple months? Yeah, and then it just like, they took it off. And people were like, oh my goodness, some dude killed their brother over there. That's why they took it off. And then one of my other friends was like, it just ruined the guy who made it life. Because people kept like messaging him.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
I heard suicides. That game had some...
Everything under the sun.
Yeah.
But that was my entire 7th grade.
The extended universe of Flappy Bird.
Basically.
Right now, there's like iPhones with the original Flappy Bird still on it. I bet those will go for money.
They were going for money when it got taken off the App Store.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
And I bet nowadays,
there's a million Flappy Bird clones that you could just download.
Oh there totally is.
There was when it came out.
You could make it in probably like an hour on a computer. Probably.
For sure.
No, I remember doing like a coding class one time, and they had like base Flappy Bird, and then you just like help put certain things into it and to go and make it play and such.
Like really that easy. Along with like Snake are like 2 of the first games that people learn to make now.
Snake is so much, like not talking about mobile games obviously, but the amount of hours my senior year of high school that I played Snake, I was so close to one time beating Snake.
I beat Snake.
Really?
This summer at my internship. I also beat Minesweeper.
I love Minesweeper.
Minesweeper is so good.
I fucking love Minesweeper, and I also love its hexagonal cousin, Hexseed. It's on Steam, and I put way too much time playing that game, and also 3 games called Hex Cells, with varying levels of complexity.
Basically, what happened this summer was I beat Minesweeper on Expert, and then I beat Minesweeper on Expert without using flags, and I was like, wow, what do I do now? So I went to a custom Minesweeper, I put in the max numbers, and it was like 99 by 99 with 999 mines, which actually wasn't too bad, it just... is mentally numbing because you're just doing the same thing for so long. And I ended up beating that one as well.
Wow.
So
Josh is being the whole Mind Sweeper universe.
Yeah, and then I switched to Snake, and I beat Snake on the smallest map, and then I beat Snake on the medium map, and I did not beat Snake on the largest map, because that would have taken hours.
Speaking of your gaming, what's the game that comes to mind for you?
Probably Fruit Ninja.
Really?
I just remember sitting there on the iPad with Fruit Ninja, with all 10 of my hands just going.
Oh, yeah, exactly, dude.
You're getting as many as possible. Yeah, take off all the bombs.
I was about to say.
Just as brain dead as possible, just sitting there. Rapid fire.
You just unlocked like a closeted memory of.
Closeted?
Do y'all remember. What was it called? Do y'all remember Tap Zoo? I think it was called.
I never played it.
It was some random, like. It was basically a tycoon for zoos. Mm. It was a gacha game where you just like. Loaded it up every day and you clicked your freaking revenue on all the stuff and then you bought lions this time because lions were the most expensive thing now that you can afford. You're saving up for the fucking whale or whatever it was. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's just like designed to be addictive because number go up and that's it.
Yeah. Cookie clicker.
Cookie clicker.
Oh my god.
Dude, the cookie clicker lore?
I don't know what cookie clicker is.
What? You don't know what cookie clicker is?
Bro, it's like it literally created an entire genre of games called idle games.
Yeah. Well,
are those like the...
Those are the ones that you sit there and you watch.
They're number go up simulator where
something. Look, here, I have one. I'll
and then you upgrade something and then you click more and then you upgrade something again and you click more.
And eventually you do it so it does it by itself.
Investor capital.
Or like Egg Inc. I think is another one.
Cookie Clicker is literally the base of that. It's a cookie that you tap. And every time you tap, you get more cookies, and you use those cookies to upgrade stuff.
Dude,
to get more cookies.
I was out there like, tap. I was like, to like maximize my taps.
I got really into Clicker Heroes over the summer.
What's Clicker Heroes?
Yeah, it's the same thing.
One more before we move on. Bloom Tower Defense. Did you guys get down?
I still play that.
Dude, that game is... Bloom Tower Defense 5. There was a moment, I was playing on my laptop. I was on like round 100. It was so... hot on my lap that like my computer was like dying. It was like stop, and I'm like,
he's like,
no, we're going lasers now, baby. Let's get a sun god in there. I don't care. Mm-hmm. And dude, that game was so good. And like, there was one sleepover, I'll never forget it. I went over to my buddy Brett's house, and I'm pretty sure Connor Mitchell was also
there. Brett's in the chat.
Any Brett's in the chat? I don't think there's anybody in the chat. I'm gonna be honest.
And honestly, I just know it was a sleepover with like neighborhood friends without Sam Ross. And so
hey Sam Ross.
Shout out to Sam.
Hearts go out to you.
And so we went and we sat down.
Don't make me look like an ass.
We sat down and we played Bloom Tower Defense 5 from around like 9 until like 1 a.m. just destroying Dr. Peppers and just clicking things. And he had his strategy and I had mine. And it was whoever could go longer. And I'm pretty sure I lost by like 2 rounds. And I didn't want to talk to that person for like a week.
Did you ever play so BTB
and that's
Battles?
Why Nick is the way he is.
I did.
A little bit.
Yeah. That was one against
BTB
people, right?
Battles.
Yeah.
It was
Cool and Tower Defense, except you just going against anybody.
Topic 3.
Anybody.
Anyways.
Anybody is you, anybody. Jake. It is your topic.
Hello,
now.
I'm Mr. Anybody. So yeah, my topic is like... most influential or just like a good wholesome story about like a teacher or professor you've had.
My all-time favorite professor, Jason McCabe, talked about him I'm pretty sure 5 times on this podcast by now.
And we've had 2 entire bits based on stuff he did.
We've only done trivia once with him.
No, we did trivia twice because we did it on the first 12-hour stream.
I know, but I didn't have Jason McCabe in the second trivia.
Yeah, but it was there because of him.
Yeah, fair enough. So the moment that like it still impacts me and it really means a lot is, so my birthday, January 4th, is right when school like re-kicks back in. And so my like relationship with him was a lot about like obviously teacher based, but he was a huge music guy. He would always have music playing when we went to class. And so I talked to him a lot about music. He was the person that got me into the Head and the Heart, one of my favorite acoustic bands. And then I would like show him new stuff. He would show me new music. Like, it was great. And so there was a moment where I had like a study hall and I totally just was like, I'm just going to kick it with McCabe for like 30 minutes and just talk to him about music. So we're talking. I'm telling him about like my favorite story with all music, which I haven't told on this podcast surprisingly yet, but it includes LCD Sound System. It's why my favorite song is my favorite song, which is New York, I Love You by Ring Me Down by LCD Sound System. And it's mainly because my brother and such. And so, what, this guy?
And this is coming from a guy who drummed with the Killers.
Yeah. Oh.
Hey, I had a friend who did that.
Me too.
Way. I think he goes to my school.
Out of that joke earlier, because he has the Killers t-shirt right
there. That's not a good look.
He also has a shirt that says, I drummed with the Killers.
Dude, I have a friend.
Wait, is that, no,
it's unimportant.
Not,
keep moving.
Who cares? Yeah, so, I tell him this whole story, and most, like, when you think of, like, a teacher or something, like, they define this year in my life, or they gave me, like, this moment in my life. And so, for me, that, like, my, like, friendship with him or whatever, we get breakfast once a year with myself and a couple other people that are, like, all of his favorite students. And we, like, talk, hang out, which is always fun. But the coolest thing was it's the first winter break after school ends, and I'm like, ah, man, I'd love to get breakfast with him because I don't know what the next summer looks like. Let's try to, like, check that off. I hit him up. I'm like, hey, my birthday's January 4th. I roll out January 5th. Want to grab some breakfast, kick off my birthday with myself and the Lucids and a couple others. And he's like, oh, I'd love to, but I got something with my kids. And I'm like, yeah, no problem. And then I'm like, it's whatever. And then also school started for them on January 4th. And so I'm not thinking twice about it. And all of a sudden, my buddy Austin comes home, who's a year younger than me. This is my freshman year of college. It's his senior year. He goes and he's like, hey, Nick, McCabe played New York, I Love You in class to kick off class and talked about you for a little bit. And I was like, wow. That's like, that is so freaking cool. He played it once for the class while I was still in class because he's like, hey, Nick showed me the song and it's phenomenal. And yeah. And then so that happened. And then this past year, I got hit up by another student. And on January 4th, he played it again. Oh. And now that's every year I get that little birthday present of knowing that
that's fun.
That checks that off. And then, like, someone relates a song so well to me that means so much to me already. Like, that makes it even a little bit more icing on the cake, where I don't know if anything could surpass that with the memories that I have with it. Now, like, if you ask any of my high school friends or anyone that really knows me, they're like, yeah, this kid likes this band a lot. And they're crazy and stupid. So, but, like, that for me was a moment where a professor went beyond being a professor, or a teacher went beyond being a teacher. That was, like, a genuine friend hooking it up one last time and be like, hey, January 4th, you know, as selfish and as Nick is to have a holiday called Nevin's Island Day, let's celebrate him in this way. And for me, that will always be super impactful. So,
that's
fun. Yeah. Josh, what do you got? What's a teacher moment or best professor
moment
for you?
So, I've actually been blessed with a long line of really good teachers growing up. There's only a couple that I would say I disliked. But probably, like, the most impactful was my senior year calculus teacher. Her name was Mrs. Sitka. She was just the sweetest lady ever. Phenomenal teacher. Probably, not even probably, one of the best teachers I've ever had. Maybe the best teacher I've ever had. But just taught calculus really well. Let me kind of be me in class, which is just goofing off and saying the first thing that comes to my mind. And is not always the best thing. But I don't know. I just, a big moment was right before the AP. Well, there were two big moments. The first big moment was you could choose whether or not you wanted to take calculus AB or calculus BC. And AB wasn't really, it was just the core calculus curriculum. But BC put in like two extra chapters or something. And it was significantly harder because the material for the first semester of calculus was, it tested you more in depth on that just to make sure you have a better understanding. And so it was at that moment she was going around, she was asking people just, hey, sign on the list if you want to do AB or BC, and then we'll just like split you on different sides of the classroom and I'll teach BC and then I'll give you guys probably worksheets to do.
Yeah.
And so I went up to her like before class started and I was like, Miss Sika, do you think I could do BC? Because that's like what I, because originally you put it on your schedule, mm-hmm. but you can choose later on if you choose against it. She's like, Josh, you're probably one of the smartest people in this class. I would be very disappointed if you did not take the BC test. I was like, okay, Mrs. Zika. And so I took the BC test, and then the morning of the AP test, I went to her class again to get to actually get a calculator, because my calculator wasn't allowed, and I did not check that out the morning, the night
until
before.
Until the morning of.
Yeah, until the morning of. So I was like sprinting to get to her class, and I ran, and I was like, Mrs. Zika, I need to borrow a calculator. She was like, of course, there's 5 right there. I was like, okay. So I took one. I was like, Mrs. Zika, how well do you think I'm going to do? She's like, I'm not going to tell you. I was like, oh, okay, fair enough. So then I left. And then, like, later that day, I went back to her class, and I was like, now how well do you think I did? And she was like, I think you got a 5. And I got a 5. Nice. So, yep. Probably best teacher.
You know, give me one.
Yes, sir.
Bam.
I've ever had. So there's my story.
Yeah, that's very nice. I'll go next. My, like, best teacher, 10th grade world history, Coach Gifford.
That guy, by the way, it's always the coach.
Because he was a guy who, like, I wouldn't say he put the students in front of, like, the curriculum, but, like, he really cared about, like, the students and their understanding. Because, like, he really liked teaching world history, even though, you know, he's just a coach, right?
Mm-hmm.
For the soccer team, by the way. He was a soccer coach. And he was one of the guys who would sit up in front of class and just, like, ask people how their day was, you know? He would ask them how your day was, somebody you could talk to, and when he was actually teaching the class, he just made sure that everybody understood, like, the content in a way that was fun and engaging in the same way that still taught, you know, everything he needed to teach. And I just remember, like pretty much every day I had his class, I would go over there, talk to him, yo, how's your day going? Tell me how his day is going. I'll tell him how my day is going. And even like near the end of the semester, the Olympics were on. I forget which Olympics. Probably the.
If it was near the end of the semester, probably winter.
Yeah, it was probably like winter. Probably around the winter Olympics.
Yeah.
And you know, he's just, you know, giving out worksheets to do, and I'm like, hey, Coach Gifford, do you mind if I can watch the Olympics? I'm really into that. And he's like, oh, by sure. You got all your work done? And I'm like, yeah, I finished it all like in the first 10 minutes of class. He's like, have fun watching the Olympics. Keep me updated. And that's been the rest of the class watching the Olympics. Obviously, you know,
mm-hmm.
told what I watched and, you know, so went out my day. And I feel like having those teachers in your life that, like, you know, they actually care about you instead of just being like, PowerPoint, I hate you. Go die, right?
Yeah.
Like having
and that stuff's on the PowerPoint.
Yeah, exactly, right? And slide number 2. Screw you guys.
Yeah. Slide number 3.
Slide number 3. This guy right here. Yeah, Nathan, I'm talking to you.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
Get out of my class right now. I've been that bit, dude.
And that will be on the test.
And that will be. Who do I hate the most?
Yeah, who's my
Nathan.
Least
who's
yeah,
my who's least
my
favorite something on the vote?
It's multiple choice. There's one option. But having those teachers that, like, actually, like, care about you while, like, still, like, being able to teach in a very, like, great manner,
mm-hmm.
I'll never forget that guy.
Yeah.
Never forget him.
I, like Josh, have been very blessed with amazing teachers throughout my entire life. I've also had some stinkers in there, for sure. I would say there's more teachers that hate me than I hated, just because I talked a lot in class, and my attitude towards homework is different than that of what you would consider a good student's attitude towards homework.
What would you say that attitude is?
If I know the material, then why do I have to do 30 practice problems? So that's I would. This is mainly in math, and this is mainly why all of my math teachers, except for my senior year math teacher in high school, did not like me. If you know how like homework will be, you'll have like 6 or 7 sections with covering different topics,
yeah,
or different sides of a topic.
Yeah.
I would just go to the section and do the hardest one in that section. And if I did that very easily, then I would move on to the next section. But if I had struggled with it, then I'd move one up. And I'd just keep doing that until I understood it, and then I'd move on to the next section. So I would get like 30s on my homework, but I would get 95s on the tests. And because homework was only 10% of our grade, I was always fine.
Yeah.
But none of my teachers really liked that, except for my senior year calculus teacher, who's not the subject of my story. But she was great. She just cared if you knew the material, which I feel like is...
That's the way to
yeah.
do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, Jake, you know what? You can do literally whatever you want as long... When we were reviewing for AP tests, she was like, you don't really have to come to class as long as you keep getting 5s on the practice test.
Yeah.
Like, all right, cool.
Because, like, at the end of the day,
Yeah.
If that shows that you know it, why do you need to show?
Yeah, she was like, I know you know all this stuff, so you can just go like mess around in the theater room or whatever, because I did theater in high school.
Shocking.
Anyways, so yeah, between I had Mr. Hill and Miss Kibler, or yeah, Miss Kibler, both of them, probably reasons why I love math. My sixth grade history teacher, Dr. Kaler, I think he's probably the best history teacher in the United States, and I say that like wholeheartedly believing that. But I think probably my most influential teacher that I've ever had was my sophomore, junior, and senior year of high school computer science teacher, because he's probably the reason why I want to be a software engineer.
And he wants to quit Nevin's Island.
Yeah.
I'm totally kidding.
And
he wants to code for the aliens.
I gotta make yourself useful, bro.
Yeah.
It's called increasing marginal utility or some shit.
You're gonna show them like a for loop and they're like, keep this one around.
Hear me out, bro. I equals zero. Okay, so yeah, just his attitude towards both teaching and also just how he, kind of like you were saying, how he handled himself in the classroom and how he handled himself in relation to the kids in the classroom. He would have been a great teacher either way, but I still remember it wasn't the first day, but it was first week or two of my sophomore year. So it was my first time experiencing coding in an academic
space.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Thank you. And I remember he said, all right, anybody who thinks that they want to do this for a living, or they want to do this, anybody who's not taking this class just because they thought it would be an easy A, raise your hand. And me, my buddy Connor, and like six other people raised their hands. He's like, all right, you guys, I'll give you guys some extra stuff if you want to work on like more to broaden your horizon or whatever. Everyone else, you'll probably get like an 80 in this class. Y'all cool with that? And his attitude was very much like, I understand coding isn't for everyone. You need to have a very specific mindset to it. So the people who want to take this and do it, I will help you and give you the resources to do that, but I'm also not going to punish you for not having the right kind of thinking, because obviously like it's not for everyone. It's a very specific logical kind of thinking. It'd be like if I took an art class and they were grading me on my artistic ability.
Yeah. That's like, ridiculous.
Yeah. It's, so I think his attitude towards that was really, really positive to my view of just coding and kind of that sort of thinking in general. And he also facilitated a really good just environment in the classroom of, if you need help, ask for help. If you're struggling even on a test, I'll push you in the right direction, stuff like that. Very ask questions before going to other resources and trying to cheat. So nobody ever really felt like they had to cheat, even though people did, just because if you asked him, he probably would have given you the answer.
Yeah.
Just, he wouldn't have been like, do this. He would have been like, maybe you should try doing this. And then, exactly.
Yeah.
So yeah, Mr. Green, if I haven't said his name, he's amazing and probably the reason why I'm doing what I want to do.
Yeah.
10 out of 10 teacher.
Before
Good job,
we,
Franklin High School.
Before we go to the next topic, I really briefly need to touch on this. My music teacher, sorry. Because if I didn't, I'd feel upset. My music teacher for the killer thing, it was you guys talking about that. There was, like, I was shockingly a jerk, like, about the killer thing. Where I told everyone I was gonna
and
do
he's
this.
Not he's not like that anymore.
No, he's not.
Nobody knows that he drums with the Killers now.
He doesn't own multiple shirts.
Does this
look like the face of a guy who owns multiple shirts?
No.
I own two.
I've proven that I own at least two.
That's only proven.
So here's the thing, though.
Like five of each. But he makes sure we only ever see one at a time.
It's like, you know how people get all the same kind of socks so laundry is easier? He does that except with shirts.
Yeah. So I firmly, though, like, was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And when you tell yourself something like that much, you can get really delusional really fast. And I was delusional, like, really fast. Of like, this is going to work. No matter what, I'm going to will this to happen. But, like, it was that thing of I truly, for about a month of the whole process, was like, I'm the only person that really believes that this can happen. And my teacher one day, we were in jazz band. I'm practicing right before jazz band kicks off. And all of a sudden, like, I'm practicing the killer song. And somebody asked me, I'm like, I'm going to do this. And they're like, no, you're not. And then somebody turns over to our teacher, and she was really cool. We called her Mo because her last name was Moriarty. And so I was like, Mo, do you think he's gonna do it? And she's like, 100%, I absolutely believe she's gonna do this. And I was like, and then afterwards, I legitimately like took a moment and was like, was she like for real? And so after Daz Fan went up to her, I was one of her TAs, so like I was pretty comfortable with her, and I was just like, hey, do you? And she's like, the amount of drive that I see in you, like, I firmly believe this. And it was right after the Mr. Skipper thing, so like it was. She's like, I've never seen someone work so hard for that. And so, yeah, like, I believe that you're going to do this. And it was that moment of, like, cool, there is someone else that believes in me. And also, hear that from someone with some musical prowess and being like, okay, if I can check that part off, now it's just the confidence and then, like, getting on stage, then I should be good to go. And so, I fully attributed, and there's an interview that is no longer online, and it's the better interview out of the two interviews that I did for news, where I, like, shouted her out. I'm like, hey, there was two people that believed in me, and she was one of them, and she let me practice in the morning and at night. Like, and without her, I can, like, pretty confidently say I would not have had the confidence, and I probably wouldn't have done it. And so probably would have been less of a jerk nowadays. But in all seriousness, like, that was a life-changing teacher. And so I would have felt remiss if I didn't say that. Last topic?
Hey, yo, shout out Mo.
Yeah. Hey, if it makes you feel better, I believe that you can jump with the guns.
Yeah, you do.
And if it makes you feel any better, I don't think it's
better. Nick, if it makes you feel any better, I believe that you did drum with the killers.
There was a moment where like someone was like, nah. And I'm like, I have proof. They're like, I don't care.
That's not you. That's not you.
No way.
Photoshop.
Go tell the aliens.
Chase Anger, round us out. What's the last topic?
For the last topic, you know, we haven't been around for a while. These guys haven't seen us for a while. Let's just get some summer stories out of the way. What happened over the summer?
I'll go first because I have the worst one.
Of course, saving the worst for first.
I mean, just most boring. I didn't do anything this summer. I was here.
No, I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything this summer. That's it for the topic.
So
right. Nick?
Mainly, two things I wanted to discuss. Obviously, I had a crazy summer and we stopped doing
it. No, this is Chase's topic.
But also, I want to talk a little bit about the Island House and what that was. Because that kicked off our summer. That was the first thing that we did. That's why I'm terrified of this thing. Because...
Yeah, we gave Nick a new phobia. It's of Nerf guns.
It really is, dude.
With knives taped to the
dude, hate Ben's Nerf guns.
Yeah, what was the Island House, and like, how do you reflect on that now that we've all went through very different summers? But like, my summer was great, but it was also a lot of hard work. And y'all,
I think it was fun, and every passing day that goes where we aren't there, I think, wow, we really made it through 10 days without strangling Nick.
Yeah.
And I don't think we got enough credit for that. Because holy crap, towards the end there,
yeah.
Woo!
Sam left a day early because he was... One,
exhausted.
I made him sick. Like
the MCU review, he was absolutely.
I've
just
never
dead.
Seen anyone as tired as he was.
We shot for 8 hours.
And that's coming from me.
Like we've done 12-hour streams, and that's exhausting. But even I get off camera for about 2 hours of that. Mm-hmm. Like, and we get breaks, and he probably does the most work on the 12-hour days. Mm-hmm. Is Chase?
But at least you're not talking the whole time.
That's true. Like,
listen, if I can just sit there and not talk. I could do it for 24. Do it for 24.
But, like, in all credit, and we're still releasing the MCU reviews up tomorrow when this goes up. There'll be the one on the Winter Soldier, and that's actually a great video. Please,
that is a good one. I remember that one. I was in the room, and I remember that one because I almost fell into the camera in the middle of the recording of that, and I would have felt horrible because... That was, like, the 7th one y'all did.
We were, like, at 9 out of, like, 24
and
at
Sam
time.
Was already, like... Yeah, so we have Winter Soldier. And Nick insisted on reading the whole ass list for no reason. My word.
So we went and, Sam, like, is the hero of that trip. But you guys, like, also did so much work, and a lot of that work probably won't see all the vlog stuff won't see the live day. And there's two vlogs that I think we might still post. One being the Boston day where we went to Boston. Oh, that's actually a great vlog.
Oh my goodness, that food was delicious.
That food was so good.
Hey, y'all remember that time that Nick was like, I know how to get out of here. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to map it. And he's like, can you map to my brother's house? And I'm like, no. And he's like, why not? And I'm like, because we're going to your house.
It would have been faster.
See, you know why? You want to know how I know it wouldn't have been faster, Nick?
Because
there was two map paths. Ways.
Yeah.
And the way that I later figured out was the way to your brother's house was multiple minutes slower.
Tens of minutes. I know how to get there. Well, kind of. And so it would have been better than the first way
I told Nick, stay on this road. And then he decided that in his panic of not knowing where to go, that instead of staying on the road, he would take an exit and make us do about a 20-minute loop just to get back to where we were.
No, yep. It was at least 30
minutes. It was like 30 minutes. It was Boston traffic Saturday night.
Yeah.
At the Nevins Island
I'm pretty sure there was a Bruins game.
There was definitely something happening. Yeah.
Also the time that we went an hour in the wrong direction.
Yeah, oh, for...
Because Nick mapped to... Nick mapped incorrectly
to my own house.
Not only to the port for the ferry that he's been to countless times.
At least 50.
His own house. His childhood home for all of high school. Nick got about an hour down the road and saw Rhode Island 10 miles.
Nick didn't even realize it. We were going down the road and then Sam just kind of quietly in the back just goes, Nick, we're going in the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And after him saying that, Nick said out loud, yeah, I didn't recognize this road. And you weren't like, hey, maybe we should double check. And also, I will say, at the beginning of that fucking ride, I know we've already talked about this, because I remember talking about it on the podcast we did at the Island House.
Oh, we
never posted that?
That's not fantastic.
Cool. I remember, at the very beginning of this fucking ride, we were driving off, and Nick insists on texting and driving for no reason.
No, I insisted on looking up the destination and driving, but continue. But I was driving
and also looking in the fucking mirror.
I was driving and on my phone.
Okay.
Yes,
I go, hey, Nick, give me your phone, and I'll put it in. He goes, no, I got it.
I don't need a co-pilot.
I go, all right. Make sure you don't put in the wrong address. I said that out loud. He goes, I got it. It's my own house. And then we were 45 minutes later than we should have been because he started driving to fucking Rhode Island.
The only reason we realized that was because Sam had to use the restroom. He was like, oh, there's no way we can be that far away from Nick's house. It's only like an hour and a half. We've been driving for like an hour. So he pulls it up. We're going in the wrong
direction.
Like,
it's like a 50-minute drive and we got there in 2 hours.
I swear I heard
so
his
bad.
Voice break and single tears rolling down his cheek.
Also, the amount of times that Nick had to tell him, Sam had to tell Nick to stop looking at him while he was talking through the fucking rearview mirror.
Yeah, that dude, Sam's too attractive, man. He's distracting. But in all
seriousness, you're just distracted.
I'm
just looking at the viewfinder.
I'm so thankful for that trip because I feel like we all did a ton of work throughout the summer of like actually having to grind and getting to just chill with the guys for a weekend. But like I said, we did a ton of work. And
I'll tell you what though, that trip being positioned where I was made my life extremely. Like, I felt I was living out of a suitcase for probably, realistically, like, a month. Because from finals week, I was already starting to get kind of packed up.
Yeah.
And then finals week happened. I go home for a day. And then I'm up at the Island House for 10 days.
Yeah.
And then I get back and I find out that I get this summer research thing down in Auburn. So then I find out that I'm home for 10 days. And I have to find housing in Auburn. I have to get everything that I need down there. In my car, which was also a big issue that I'm not getting into. And it was just, like, probably about 28 days of me just being like, all right, peace out. I'm only here for, like, the next 5 minutes. Can't really hang out with many people. Yeah, that's probably the most interesting thing that happened to me all summer. That first, like, 2 months. Or 2 weeks. 3 weeks.
That's fair. No, but I loved the Island House. And getting to do that was a huge check mark in all this. Because now, the thing that I enjoy editing the most because it doesn't take a lot of time and I like reliving that was the MCU review. That moment with Sam, we sat for 8-9 hours.
Probably.
He freaking typed all that. So Chase was in the room with us the entire time too. He didn't have to speak, but and it was, you were on TikTok, right, for most of it.
No, I was on TikTok. I was like, I might have actually, I don't know. I forgot what I was doing, but it was something for
it was
hours.
Was that this, your fantasy draft?
No.
The sun set. While we were filming that, the sun, you can see it over the course of the videos, goes down. And we were, we started that at like 11 noon.
Didn't we also record the Resident Evil thing that
but
night?
Yeah,
that was Boston night. Boston night was Resident Evil. And then we took a day off, and then we went and, actually no, the next day was MCU review. And then the day after that was mini golf. Actually no.
Mini golf was first.
Yeah, mini golf. And then, and dude, the edit of that. I don't even know if that will ever get edited. That will take so long. Like, that will be another 50 out, right? And I'm starting
to... I mean, would you be able to reuse some of the stuff from the other one, though? Just the points and stuff like that?
Yeah, I could use some of the assets, but, like, I would want to go and make a, like, scorecard with the all spaces on it, and that takes a little bit of extra time. The Who Knows Me Best video will go up eventually. That has been 70 to 80 hours of editing, no joke. It is... Wow. It is... Oh, it was a beast. Getting the assets for you guys and your faces alone took me, like, 3-4 hours, and then having to switch out everyone throughout the video was another whole thing. So,
anyways,
yeah,
summer stories.
Yeah,
summer stories. Josh. I was in Memphis, no friends, didn't do anything.
All right, cheers. Dang.
I wouldn't say I had an eventful summer, but I did do a lot of things. I DoorDashed a lot this summer.
Did you embezzle money from DoorDash?
Embezzle? No, I earned it by DoorDashing.
No, didn't you like cheese the suggestions or whatever?
The suggestions?
Or the recommendations to get people on the app?
Oh, yeah. Like, if you have multiple people, you know, you can just keep recommending, right?
Yeah.
And then you can just, if it's your family member that doesn't use a phone, recommend them and then just take the phone and go DoorDash.
Yeah.
Yeah, easy money. But besides that, for the whole summer, we renovated my dad's garage for his, 67, 64 bug that he's going to be getting soon. Yeah, thank you. That took 3 days took 3 days of like nonstop work from like morning till night just to get that thing renovated while he was out of town. That was exhausting.
Yeah.
Like painting, moving all these toolboxes, tools, organizing, putting in the flooring, getting a TV set up in there, putting a futon. That was a lot of work. And then I would say the other two most eventful things that happened. I went on a trip to Daytona Beach with a few of my friends. Stayed down there for about like 5-6 days around there, and that was a lot of fun. We, you know, went to the beach, ate a lot, just did a bunch of shit in the Airbnb.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And then the last thing is over like near like the end of July, my little brother had a baseball tournament, so we went down to Louisiana for 10 days or something like that.
And wasn't that like a day after Daytona Beach too?
That was it ended a day before Daytona Beach. I got that a little mixed up in my head, the order of events.
Yeah.
But we're down there for 10 days, absurd amount of people.
And wasn't that one day Braden's birthday party?
Yeah, it was. So I went from Louisiana, then like I know I went from no, I went Okay, wait, it was Daytona no, it was Louisiana to Daytona Beach to Braden's birthday party.
Final answer.
And I remember because I drove directly from Daytona Beach to Louisiana. Daytona Beach to Braden's birthday. That's what I did.
So Louisiana, Daytona Beach, Braden's birthday, home.
Yes, exactly. Finally made it home after just like two plus weeks of just on the road for like hours and doing stuff.
So you did you also made up to Massachusetts. You did a lot of traveling.
There. I did a lot of travel. I did a lot more traveling than I thought I would. I went to two states this summer that I had not been to before. So technically three if you count Mississippi. But I didn't stay outside Mississippi.
We don't count
Mississippi.
Why would you ever count Mississippi?
Mississippi can't count. So why would you count Mississippi?
And my brother won his baseball really bad game, drivers. So.
And roads.
And, yeah.
Oh.
And hailstorms.
So, for me, in summer, I'm just going to say what my best day was, because it kind of encapsulates all of it. My parents came up towards the end of July, like, during my last little stint at JH, for like, right before the last week started. And so JH was a long...
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Does JH stand for something?
No, the joke is that it stands for Just Hitch Ranch, because a lot of like relationships that end in marriage they've had a zero divorce rate.
But it's just
it's boys. Just what it's called. It's just JH Ranch.
Did you meet anybody?
Yeah, I met some people. I met multiple people.
I'm not gonna say her name because it's a joke, and I don't want to put it on video. But you know who I'm gonna say.
Yeah, no, there.
I want to know.
I'll tell you later.
But,
I want to know
so
now.
So fine. So there was a lot of personal growth because I met someone out there that didn't work out in the end. But the thing that really made it special was like just getting that time to focus on myself and really become a better person. But to just go on like some of my entire summer one day, my parents come up there. It's like July 30th or 31st.
So have you guessed what he got on his best day this summer?
Yes.
A smooch.
No.
Chipotle.
It was.
I remember this day because he called me like an hour after. And he said, Jake, I just had the worst Chipotle I've ever gotten and I've never been happier.
So bad. So, We go, and I'm with my parents, and getting off property is a struggle because you only have one off day a week, and so trying to organize getting a car and getting off property is difficult. But because my parents were there, I talked to my boss, like, yeah, do whatever you want, sort of deal, for 2 days. And on the first day, went off property, drove an hour and 45 minutes because you're in the middle of nowhere, and we got Chipotle. We saw Fast 9, which is such a bad, amazing movie. The movie itself, all the Fast and Furious movies, not great. But dang, do you not have a good time watching them.
I've seen one, and I think the most memorable moment was Vin Diesel was getting in a fight with the main antagonist, and it was like the whole thing was like, oh, it's a street fight. So they have like one guy has like a monkey wrench, and the other dude has like a crowbar or something.
Jason Statham, we know this.
Like, yeah, they're like going at it, and then a drone comes out of nowhere and blows up the parking garage, and then Vin Diesel is suddenly like flying away on some helicopter or something.
And then he says the stupidest line in any Fast and Furious
line I've ever heard.
What's his?
First rule of a street fight: the street always wins. Like, okay,
so
dumb. Yes, Vin Diesel.
That's so good.
You said the stupidest line. I think that's the greatest line in all cinema.
I agree.
Yes, Jason.
What about fucking? Wait, no, not scene line.
The greatest scene in all cinema is the Shrek 2 I Need a Hero scene.
False.
We discussed
also
this.
False.
Also false. So we go and we do all these things, and then my parents are like, hey, we got like a couple hours, and I'm like. The thing was, before that, everyone was off property for a couple days, and the people that don't have to go off property just get to hang out. I'm like, I miss doing my work, I miss having to set up, I miss sound checks, I miss all the daily life that I get to do out there. And so I was like, I actually want to make it back for sound check. I'm making back in town for sound check, I'm helping set up Slabs for the night, I'm helping get everything running. It's all awesome. Go to dinner, get to chill with my parents for a bit at dinner, and then all of a sudden, the night that it was what's outside? What happened?
No, I just looked at Chase and he made a weird face and then looked back at me. And then both of us almost left.
I get it. And so for me, there's these two nights in the summer that are why? It's not that hard.
He keeps looking at me.
I know. He keeps looking at you going,
stop it. Make him stop looking at me.
No, I was trying not to laugh.
And so there's two nights in the summer that are designated solely just for music to be playing, and there's no talks. And so the first night that happened, everyone that like was there were like, oh my gosh, super great night. From a technical standpoint, from a band standpoint, Jake, what are you doing? What are you doing?
I'm trying so hard not to look at her right now.
Yeah, and Jake said not be like, okay, I'm going to listen to this. He's going...
I'm hearing what you're saying. You said that there's mostly talks, but there's like two nights when it's just music.
Yep.
And this is probably one of those nights because you weren't there and it was a big problem.
Yeah, and so, no, that happened the next night. Anyways, I did call Jake literally 2 days after this story, so he has heard most of this. So we go, the first night that we did one of these where it was just music, everyone loved, but from a technical side, it was horrendous. We had to literally drop a song, like which we had to do all summer. We had to stall for like 10 minutes in the middle of a set and sort of just, like, it was horrendous. And so this is, my parents are here.
Give me blue lights and tap music.
Like, it was terrifying going and stepping back because this sort of was like the Super Bowl moment of what I did for the summer. And the first one we absolutely dropped the bag on. And so I'm like, cool, my parents are going to get to see me do work. I'm going to get to go. And like the set list is like 7 songs compared to normally 3 a night. And it's going to be awesome, hopefully. And we get going. And like just from a concert atmosphere, not like bringing religion to it. It was one of like the best live shows and live experiences I've ever had. And I've seen hundreds of shows.
And this guy's drummed with the killers.
The killers.
And then you go and throw in the fact that it's like 300 teenagers worshiping God. Like, it was such a cool sight to see. My mother is crying. My dad
such
was
a cool
in his
sex
mind.
Scene?
Sight to see.
That's what I heard too, but that, he's talking about Jesus Kip, so I was going to be respectful.
I will never be respectful.
And so it was super
that's
cool.
That's why your teachers don't like you.
It was an amazing
no, they
night.
Don't like you. My teachers love me.
Your teachers don't like me?
What?
No. That's why your teachers don't
you
like
confused?
You.
No, I've been listening.
Okay. I'm not. These guys are gonna see what's that face? What is that face?
It's his O face. Didn't you know?
I'm gonna make that a sticker for the chat for now. Today. You think I'm joking?
It's new Pog Champ.
Yeah, new Pog Jake.
Yeah, we need
Island Jake
subscribers for that.
Blau. Blau and Nevin Diamond. Oh. But yeah, it was a super cool moment and super cool summer. Real quick, what, like, this is a topic, but it's like not really a topic. Jake, we all answered this question when Turbo was on. What was the weirdest part about living with all of us, even though most of us already lived together? Like, for the Island House.
I didn't have my own room the entire time I was there.
Dude, not the... You were on the couch. Oh my gosh.
No, didn't you get it, like, one of the nights that Nick was up editing all night long?
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. So one night. One of the 10 nights.
But even then, like, I don't like sleeping in other people's beds, so it still felt uncomfortable. So I was sleeping with Chase, which is fine, because Chase and I were both like, once we're going to bed, we're going to bed. Mm-hmm. I kind of felt bad because at that point I was still waking up early to run.
Yeah,
but Chase and did not care.
The first day, I remember my alarm went off and I woke up, and before I could even like turn off my alarm and apologize, I turned off my alarm and I turned over and Chase was already asleep again. And then obviously when we were at your place in Cohasset, I was sleeping on the couch. Albeit, I did volunteer to sleep on the couch. But it's just because I don't really like sleeping in other people's beds.
Yeah.
And two, I'm pretty sure I was too tall to fit in any of the beds, like, straight on.
Yeah, no, my bed, you'd have to go diagonal, because I have a huge mattress at home.
And I wouldn't have fit
so in there was this brings me to a story that I'm not sure which one of you guys have heard it, but at least one of you guys have. The night that I was staying up, there was two nights where I stayed up all night.
You told me this.
From five.
Are you trying to pull a prank on us?
Six. And I tried to pull a prank on you.
And it didn't work because nobody woke up.
Yeah. I bumped the Mark Rivlin morning alarm for 10 hours edition. And no one woke up. And it was off your speaker that could kind of bang. The house was moving. And no one woke up. Yeah. Five people. And it was 6 a.m. too. It wasn't like, or it was like 5:30. It wasn't like... late in, or like in the middle of the night where you're in your deepest sleep. It was hysterical for me, though. Nala lost her mind. My dog was running around, and like, I'm like,
I take it back. Nala was my favorite part of the island.
That is
Nala was probably my favorite.
Nala was such a good moment of the Island House. I miss her. But yeah, so the worst part was just not having your own bed.
I wouldn't say that's the worst part, but that was definitely like, definitely the thing that when I got home, I was like,
nice.
Yeah. A door that I can lock and have no one be in my room.
Not
because I'm not a huge personal space guy.
Yeah,
but I'm like, I just
that's
like
funny. Neither is Nick.
I like having my own space that I can be if I need to be alone. Yeah. And not having that, it was just kind of like I was running background tabs the entire time I was there. And then I got home and I was just like, all right, close all the tabs after the project. I'm done.
Yeah. So which I feel like when there. There's moments doing this that are like almost like the on season, and then there's the off season. And I feel like Nevin Down Day is obviously that on season. When you and I were playing The Last of Us, that was an on season. And I feel like when we finish something, there is that close tabs moment. I feel like even the Jack the Bus like podcast, even though we just got going again, was like a, like such a high point that it was a, all right, we can sort of just settle back into hanging out with each other. And that's what this podcast allowed it to be, because next week we're going to have a guest on. It is Shane's birthday, who's on the Jack podcast. We're bringing him on for his birthday. We're going to do some topics. It's going to be super exciting.
We're actually kicking you off, Josh.
We are not
perfectly valid.
No,
I'll take a week off.
No, we're not fitting five
not
people
yet
in the room, so somebody's got to go.
Yeah, but yeah, it's going to be awesome. And that's sort of, let's close this thing out. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Nevin's Island Podcast, the weekly show where we come at you, bring a different topic to the table. If you like that, please go to Spotify, subscribe. Please go to YouTube, also subscribe. We salute you, and peace out.